Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Hello, Real Life. How are we doing? So glad that you are joining us, whether you are online or in this room. We are so glad. Real quick, if there's anyone new in the room, can we just give them a hand for anyone who's joining us new? Thank you for being here. Even online, thank you for joining us. My name is Christian. I'm the next generation pastor here at the Coeur d'Alene campus, which means I like energy. Yes. So hopefully you have some of that as we dive into today. We've been in a series called Forged, talking about being declared as righteous, but we are in a process being refined in the fire, becoming more and more like Jesus, which sometimes is an amazing process and sometimes it is a challenging one. And so with that, we're on week four, but I always love sharing a verse before we jump into whatever subject. Just as we sang a minute ago, come as you are. You know, for me, that is a very powerful statement. Growing up, I really struggled believing that. I felt I had to be perfect, that I had to have all my ducks in a row before coming in before the Lord. And with that, we get to come as we are. And so if you're having an amazing week, sweet. If you are like barely getting in here, right? Maybe even fought on the way here with a spouse. I don't know. It happens. You get to come as you are. And so let's listen to this in Isaiah 43:2. One of my favorite verses before we dive into the text. It says this: when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For you, if you have felt like you've been in the fire, right? You've been in challenge and difficulty. I believe God has something for you, and he has a promise for you within that, that he's with you. Now, being with you doesn't mean you don't feel how hot it is, right? Or it doesn't mean that there's not challenge, but he's with us. And the same goes for us. It says where two or more gather, he is here. And so he is with us as we dive into this. And so with that, we're gonna jump in. Wanna do a quick recap. If you've missed any of these, please go back. This series has been very challenging, very convicting, going through 1 Peter. And so the first week we talked about real faith or counterfeit faith, right? That faith is the lifeblood, and that through trials, we hit on a little bit, purifies us as we become into the image of Christ, that we're being forged. Week two, we talked about holiness. Just as God is holy, we should pursue being holy. Now, that doesn't mean perfection for us, luckily, because we're not perfect. But as we experience God and his holiness, we strive to live a holy life. Then we talked about submission. Who had fun living out submission this week? Yes, right? With all your friends and neighbors and people you don't like sometimes, right? And this week, even better, suffering. Anyone wake up and like, I can't wait to suffer today, right? Suffering, that's what we're talking about today. Before we dig into suffering, and we're going to be really in 1 Peter 4 through all of today, I want to actually talk about it a little bit before we go into 1 Peter. Because this is one that is the enemy has tried to use for a very long time. You know, if God was good, why is there suffering? That question's at the forefront with non-believers, and I was one of them. When hard things go on and when God is good and everything's challenging and there's trials and tribulations and struggles, how can God be good and there be suffering? In Jesus's day, the Pharisees, they actually taught when there was a blind person or a leper or any of those kinds of people that God was actually punishing them for their sin and you weren't supposed to help them. Like, think about that for a minute. You see that in some of the Gospels. People asking, are they sick because of their sin, right? And God goes, no, he is sick and I'm going to work, right? You see that in the passages. Suffering has been taken out of context. And if you are just being honest, as even a believer, there are times when it is hard and we go, God, where are you? Maybe in the room or online, you've been going through some hard things and you're going, God, where are you in this? This is challenging. Is it because I did something wrong? Is it because I'm not following you correctly? Is it? And we can become this person that asks all these questions. And here's what I love about Paul. He's my favorite writer, one of my favorite writers in the Bible. He was very familiar with suffering. In fact, in other places in Scripture, in the New Testament, he said he despaired of life. And let's be honest, I'm pretty sure we could all go, man, I've despaired of life sometimes. Says that he was shipwrecked, that he was stoned half to death, that he was hunted down by his own people. And listen to what he says here in Romans 8. It says in verse 35, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. This guy is very familiar with suffering. And in their day, they were being hunted down like sheep, as he says. Very easy to go, God, do you really love me? Maybe for you, you've lost someone. Maybe you struggle mentally. Maybe you have sickness in your family or health problems or whatever it is. And all these examples, it leads us to a spot at times to go, God, do you really see or care? And Paul says it means yes. That doesn't mean because you're going through the fire that he doesn't love or see or work in the midst of it. In fact, it goes on right after this to say nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither angels nor demons nor our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. And so as we get ready to jump into 1 Peter, I just want to say for you, it's hard and on my heart because I also have had challenging things. For me to challenge you in suffering, if your suffering can feel like a dagger when it feels like you can barely make it through something you're in even now. But he's going, man, God does love. He's going to work good from it. Don't give up and don't lose your hope. So with that, let's jump in. 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 1, and we're going to break these down. It says this, so then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitudes that he had and be ready to suffer. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and their lust, their feasting and their drunkenness and wild parties and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things that they do. So they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God who stands ready to judge everyone, both the living and the dead. That is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. So although they were destined to die like all people, they now live forever with God in the Spirit. So in this series, we're really breaking down a lot of these passages, and there's a lot to break down in here. First, I want to say this. Remember that Christ has suffered for you. When we are going through the fire, remembering that Christ himself left heaven, took the humble position of a slave, and suffered physically for us, helps empower us when we follow our Savior when it's hard. Here he's going, man, the same way Christ suffered physically, we should arm ourselves and be ready to do the same. Now, I don't know about you in the room or online, but I'm very good at self-doubt. I have been since I was a kid. I don't know where it started. But in questions like that, I always go, man, well, I really have strong enough faith in that moment, right? As we talk about persecution and physical persecution. And I've always gone, man, I don't know if I can do this or that seems too difficult. And as we look at our culture, more and more, they're getting aggressive towards Christianity. But around the world, it's been going on for a while. But he's going, man, you need to be ready to do the same if that moment comes. And just like Isaiah, the first verse that I declared, he says things like, he will give us the words, that he will be with us in those things. But that we are called to be ready as we follow our Savior to defend the truth, even if it means physical persecution. And for us, the amazing thing is we have God's promises to encourage us for those seasons that come. To be ready to keep our eyes on our King. With that, I don't believe he's just talking about physically here either, because in week one, 1 Peter 1:6 said, trials of many kinds. Not just physically, but although I do believe we should be ready for those things, it could be all kinds of things, health things, losing someone. It could be even internally, where that's where the enemy likes to work, within ideas and thinking and all these different things he attacks in the mind. He can get us to doubt in God. We can look at our circumstances and go, where is he in this? It can be in conversations with non-believers who are aggressive and maybe even say things like, man, Christians are too judgmental, or Christians don't accept me for who I am. And then there's this internal battle as we go, man, is that actually true? I actually want to follow Jesus. But in reality, we're the ones declaring what's right, even if it means people don't like us, because of what God's word says, even when it's hard. There is these trials and difficulties of many kinds, which can lead us to go, God, where are you in these things? And in this conversation, we won't do things perfectly, will we? Right, I want to say this. This one's heavy on my heart as I look at my life and think of trials of many kinds. Because for some, when you talk about keeping faith in trials, you can feel like, man, I'm barely making it through, whether you're online or in this room in this conversation. And it can be challenging to keep the faith in the midst of the flames and the oppression and the heavy waters. And you might even go, man, God, it does feel like I'm being consumed within this. You know, for me, I was an ex-addict, right? Came to know Jesus. And through that process, got into ministry. Then 5 years ago, had a lot of mental things go down. Don't know if it was from the drugs I used to do. Don't know if it because it was in my family. I don't know. And for me, it's been years of figuring out how to function within a lot of the challenging things that I have. And I know many people can relate on different reasons for mental health type things. And in that fire, it can be hard. And here's what I know about being in a hard situation. You often can't see past the flames. You can't see past the difficulties. And rarely in the moment do you understand what God is doing. Rarely. But even within that, for me, I've had got to have so many conversations with people. You know, and then he goes into here about people who slander you when you are done living for the world, right? For all of us, I also relate with that. Because I used to be an addict. Then when I got clean, I had to not only quit the drugs, I had to separate myself from the people that my whole life was built around. A lot of them who were related with me because of different things. And they didn't get that. And we're talking about times of trials in various ways. That was a trial for me to let go of those people. And they didn't understand it. But now, fast forward, a lot of those come to me and go, man, what do I do? And I got to potentially have conversations with Jesus. Here's what I know about trials of various reasons as we follow Jesus. God works good for those who follow him, who are called according to his purpose. Amen? It doesn't mean always in our timing. It's his. And when you're in the flames, sometimes that timing can seem like a very long time. And you know what else I noticed he says in this passage, you guys, is he goes, man, remember, you've had enough of the world and what they used to do. Because here's what I know when suffering is taking place. Those are the times where it's the most tempting to go, man, it'd just be easier if I didn't follow Jesus. Right? we can forget what living in the world's like. You can watch the commercials and the fun party things and like you should have these things and it looks fun. And maybe for a season, sin is fun. But it's going, man, in the suffering, in the flames, remember, you've had enough of the emptiness of that life. That it's in Jesus that you're satisfied. It's in Jesus where you were in that life and you ran to him in the first place. In the fire, remember, you've had enough. Because in the fire, as we're talking about forged, that's where God works. That's where we're being changed. But that is when the enemy likes to come, when we feel at our weakest. With that, we're going to jump down to 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 7, as we break down this next text. 1 Peter 4, 7 says, "The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those in need, a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from this great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen." As you look at this, you can go, man, why is it going into serving now? I thought we're talking about suffering, right? Here's what I know. In suffering, it's a lot harder to be who God has called you to be than it is when things are going well, isn't it? And here's what I think he's saying. In the flames, don't stop being who I've called you to be. You won't be perfect. We won't be perfect. We'll mess it up because that's what we do, right? I always tell people I have the doctorate in what not to do, right? In a lot of areas of my life. We won't always do that perfectly. But he's going, man, in this struggle, don't stop being who I've called you to be. And then he goes, man, God has given every single one of you a gift. Use those gifts for my people. Be who I have called you to be. Don't get stuck and self-focused because in the flames, it's really hard not to, right? In the flames, it's hard to go, man, I don't have a lot of time, and so I'm gonna do these things. Not that doing stuff for fun is good, but he's going, man, remember, we're in this war. Use what I've given you and be who I've called you to be. He goes, man, if you can speak, speak as though I am speaking. If you serve, serve as if I am serving. If you love, love like I love. Why? Not out of fear, but because those are the things that God has done for us. We live in a culture where it's really easy when it's difficult, especially to lose sight of who God has called us to be. Also, what I notice in here is it says, the end of the world is coming soon. If you were in us in this last series, right, if you were with us, we talked a lot about that. Here's what I see a lot happening with people all the time. They aren't connected super well. They don't have real transparent relationships. They're not in spots where, you know, it's really good spots for them to be spiritually. But then a trial or a fire comes and they go, oh no, they have no lifeboats. So they go, okay, now we need to create some lifelines. Now we do. As we talked about last series, being ready doesn't mean creating lifelines in the midst of a crisis or in a fire. Being ready means I'm walking with God's people, letting them challenge me, confessing to them when I fail, letting them come alongside me and help me grow when I jack it up, letting people really call me out when no one else will. Be ready. As we're being forged into the image of Christ, not just all of a sudden when it gets hard and you are already in a bad spot going, I'm going to be ready now. Let's jump down to 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16. It says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, prying into other people's affairs, but it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. There's all kinds of things in here. First off, it says, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised like something strange is happening to you. Basically, he's going, man, if a guy's in a war and all of a sudden bullets start flying, and he goes, whoa, I'm really surprised that there's bullets flying in the midst of a war zone. He's going, man, do you not remember? We are in a fallen world facing an enemy, and it was so jacked up that the Son of God himself was the only one who could pay the debt to redeem us. I so often forget because of our, you know, American dream, have the perfect job, have the perfect house. You know, if you are married to someone who doesn't just make you happy instantly when you get out of bed, then you should go to the next one because they just aren't the right one. They're not your soulmate. Don't be surprised. Like God's picking on you or something strange. He's going, we're in a war. We're in a war. And it's going to be hard. There's going to be flames. But remember, we got the victory. We're no longer fighting for victory. We're fighting to maintain the victory that is always or already ours in Jesus. Amen? Don't be surprised. And here's what I know. Going through the flames doesn't mean just being the man's man or, oh, I'm going to be tough and I'm going to do this by my will, right? And that's not what he's saying. When we're weak, he's strong. Parents in the room, you're going to know what I'm talking about with your kids. You see them struggling or suffering, and maybe you know more about it than they even do because they can't identify it yet sometimes, right? You know some things. For us, we know God knows, but how often do we bring it to him? Our suffering and our hurt and our doubts and our frustrations, even at times with him, because when you've been in flames, there's frustrations. Are we bringing those things before him? Are we going, I can't do this without you? That's not weakness. Paul calls that strength. When we're weak, he is strong. Don't be surprised, but do what God has called you to do within it. In here, he goes, man, if you're suffering for being a Christian, God is going to bless you. I want to talk to the people who've been believers maybe a while. Maybe you've been following Jesus. You've been serving his church. You're doing what I am talking about right now. And I'm going to guess if that's true, you've been burned along the way. By the church, maybe at times, frustrations, by people you've tried to help. And the temptation is to go, you know what? I've been burned. People just burn me. I've been trying to do what's right and go, man, I'm not going to continue, right? As we help people who are hurting. God sees that. Don't give up on that. Keep doing and being who God has called you to be. Or maybe in your environments, you're trying to be a believer and non-believers are making it difficult for you, or maybe even things around you that they're saying you're doing that you're not. And you, to be God's person in that situation is difficult. He's saying, man, if you bear the name of Jesus and you're suffering because of it, I'm going to bless you. We can go, man, God, do you see it? Do you care? Is this even working? Is this, God does see it. He says he's going to bless you for it. Don't give up in the flames. Let him forge you into his son's image. Now I want to hit on this, which I hit on briefly last week. He's going, if you're suffering because your own stupidity and terrible choices, that's your own dang fault, right? Some of us make decisions and then we go, man, I'm really surprised. God, why is this happening? Because you're making bad decisions, right? We all do that. And he's going, man, you need to actually bring that before me. Now, I'm not saying that they're suffering all the time like God causes it. We're in a fallen world. But he also does discipline those he loves. And he's going, man, you need to walk in the light. You need to look at, man, are there things you're hiding? Is there pride you're having? That's a hard thing as we look into our lives to go, God, forgive me, transform me in these areas I don't want to be transformed in or even know I need to be. And then lastly, I want us to reflect on this one. This one is powerful as he ends here. He's going, man, I'm going to read it again. It says, praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. I want you to think about this. People, all of us, have fallen short of the glory of God. People who used to be lost, now who are found. Used to be dead, now are alive. Used to be in guilt and shame, living for wickedness, feeling horrible over it. Now living for the good things God has planned for us. He goes, in the flames, don't forget how privileged we are to get to bear his name. Christians, children of God, even though we don't deserve it, even though we haven't earned it, even though after God saves us, we still struggle and there's still this lifelong process of brokenness and things. He's going, man, what a privilege. It's really hard when you're in the flames to go, man, this is such a privilege. I'm in the flames, right? So privileged right now. But he's going, don't forget what God has called you out of and whose name you bear. And that actually my son has suffered even more so than we can understand.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.